Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
And again, it's the question tonight, are you thirsty? And I'm talking in a spiritual context tonight. And if you're not thirsty, I want to ask you the other follow-up question, why? Because if you're not thirsty tonight for the things of the Lord, there is another question that begs to be answered, and the question is, why? Why don't you thirst for truth, for righteousness, for everything that God's created you to experience? I hope you found Psalm 63, verse 1. If you're able physically, let's stand tonight out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. God, you are my God, and I eagerly seek you. I thirst for you. My body faints for you in a land that is dry, desolate, and without water. Father, thank you tonight for your word. God, hide me behind the cross, Lord, so that your spirit might speak, God, as only you can. May you alone be the sole focus of everything that's said and done. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. First part of 63 again. God, you are my God. I eagerly seek you. First thing I want to ask you tonight is this. How passionately do you seek the Lord? Are you eager for the Lord? Scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord, and then here's the promise. If you delight yourself in the Lord, the promise, he'll give you the desires of your heart. I share this time and time again. How many times I've heard someone say, I'm delighting myself in the Lord, and God's going to just give me these things in life I've always wanted. No, so that's out of context, by the way. Delight yourself in the Lord. Think about that. Okay, delight yourself in the Lord. Focus on him. Meditate on him. Be eager for him. That's what the thought process is here. Be eager to seek his face. Get in his presence. Byproduct. Response. He'll give you the desires of your heart. What's the desire of your heart? Him. More of him. Greater, deeper time in his presence. We can sit around here and talk about joy, peace, and hope. We can talk about the wonderful blessings of walking in victory all the time. And we can sit in here and be like an Amway. If y'all ever been to an Amway meeting? Like a waka 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 is what I call it. You know, no kidding. And they Amway, I don't even know why. I think I was made out of honey when I was young because Amway people were bees. Those Amway people, I didn't care where it was, but I was a very, 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 you think I'm wound up now? You've not seen anything. So everybody who was an Amway rep, what did they do when they saw me? I was like the amplifier on Back to the Future when Marty went into Doc's place and turned that amplifier up. And if you remember when he did that, it made this whoop, right? I was that thing all the way up before Marty took that metal pick and went down that guitar, which blew him back into the boxes. You remember that? If you don't, go watch on YouTube. Just put in there, Marty, Back to Future, guitar amp. You'll see what I'm talking about. That's what I used to be like. So every person that was an Amway rep, they saw me, and it was like a shark with blood in the water. Fins popped up, and they were circling me. You don't know how many people I had to say as a kid, you're with Amway, aren't you? It's not selling soap. That was the first thing they said. Because, see, Amway used to be selling soap. So they had to remarket it. Oh, no, we sell all kinds of products. I'm not interested. Oh, you would be perfect. You know that you could be a millionaire. I'm going to get rich slow. That's what I'd tell them. Because that's the best way to get rich. Don't get rich quick, get rich slow. And then finally, you know, they'd get the key, and then I'd go somewhere else, and next thing you know, hey, I'd like to talk to you about a way you can really, I don't want to do Amway. We don't sell soap. It was literally the same thing every time. They were thirsty to get me on board. Those people are passionate. There's people that were double diamonds. You know what I call them? The double and triple and whatever diamonds. These are people who made millions of dollars. I call them the lower tier people, right? Or your top tier people, however you want to do it. The people at the top, everybody else makes them rich. But those people thirsted for what they desired to do. They thirsted to eat, drink, and sleep the process of network marketing. Do you have a passion for Christ like the rich man in hell has for water? You should wake up in the morning and have the same passion that one of those Amway people does for a network marketing scheme. As a matter of fact, you should have a greater passion because what you have transcends the two-dimensional. I call this the two-dimensional. Now, we can call it the vertical and the horizontal, whatever you want to call it. I don't care. Just understand the concept I'm trying to present, trying to cast this picture, this narrative. This is passing away. All of this stuff that we see. My, how quickly we look in the mirror and go, oh, what happened to my dark hair? What happened to my stomach and my legs and my arms? And we're getting lumps and bumps and my skin, what's wrong with it? Just a few years ago, it was so nice and stretchy. And now it sure is stretchy. Everything is in a mad rush to the floor. What happened? Well, nothing. Time in the promise of what God said would happen. Life is but a vapor. And my goodness, if we could just cast that to our children in an effective way that they would understand, would it not change their lives if they really grasped it? Is a child, oh, we're going on vacation next month. That was 6 years. No, it was less than 6 weeks. But it was 6 years. Now, what do you mean we're all going to vacation? I don't have enough time to get ready. That's 6 days in my mind. See, everything changes. It's what? Perspective. When you're our age, what's 5 years? No, that's not a long time. 20 years to me, I sit back the other day and I'm like, I'm going, oh yeah, 20 years to see. 20 years. I'm almost 70 years old and what? Wait a minute. I was 23 years old just a few years ago. What happened? God's word showed itself true. That's the only thing that happened is God just showed that he is exactly what he says he is. I was sitting there the other day thinking about some of you and the ages you were when I came here and the age I was when I came here. Brothers and sisters, just say, hey, it's scary. I was 33 years old. Oh, would I love to be that old again? I mean, really, it would be really nice. I was young. And I was at a great place in my life spirit. I mean, those were wonderful times to me, but they just have said bye. This bye. Adios, young man. Hello, old man. It's going to be here before we all know it because we can't hang on to all this. So my question is, what are you thirsting for? What's your time being invested in? What are you doing right now with today? We don't have tomorrow. We don't have next week. We don't have next month. We don't have next year. I would do anything to have the understanding that I have now. Oh, yeah, brother John, you want to be old and know what you know now, you'd be rich. No, I want to be spiritually at the place I am now, but 15 again. I want to be able to do it over and actually impact the kingdom when I had so much energy that I could go till 3 o'clock in the morning, lay down in bed till 6 and get up and do it again. That's what I want to do. I don't want to squander it like I did as a rebel running from the Lord, missing out on the ability, thinking that Christianity was a force with which constrained me and held back the fun and the good things. No, see, the reality is it only holds things back that harm us. That harm us. There was a time in my life I used to be scared of the dark. Now, I wasn't scared in the perspective of, you know, oh, no, I actually used to get this feeling inside. As a matter of fact, if I would have run into you in the dark when I was young and I had, you'd have been dead. I was so hyper-vigilant and freaked out that I truly believe I would have killed someone if they would have come at me at a young age because I had such a fear of the boogeyman, in a sense, coming at me. Now, come and get me. I'm not scared of anything. I say this with all sincerity. Now, let me assure you, if you come to my house and you mean me harm, or you mean my family harm, let me assure you that you better give your heart to Jesus, because the rest of you is going to be mine. I've been trained to protect my family, and let me tell you, there's not many things in my life I take more serious than that, and I say that in all sincerity. I mean that. Am I scared of anything? No. I'm scared of the wrath of God, and I'm thankful that Jesus Christ shields me from that. Let me make that clear. I'm not a no fear. I fear the God that can cast my soul into hell if I didn't know him as Lord and Savior. So let me clarify that big time. Would I want to be outside of God's will and recklessly walking through? Oh, no. No. Because I don't want to drive down the road in that condition right there, because I will tell you one thing. There's so many times that I have literally, I remember on a motorcycle riding down the road, and I've said to the Lord, I've talked to him, you know, God, you got me in the perfect position. If you're ready to get rid of me, it is one deer and it's over, Lord. I said that. I've said that time and time again. And I say it as a candid conversation with God, you know, laughingly. I mean, God, you ready? You've got me in the perfect place right now. Tonight, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty for truth? Are you thirsty for righteousness? Are you thirsty tonight to spend time in God's presence as you delight yourself in him? And I want to encourage you here tonight, or whoever's online watching, because I know people are tonight. If you don't spend time in God's presence, I want to encourage you to do it. If you want your life to change, you get in there and stay there for a while and watch what happens. Do you know that I don't know anybody, and I've never had one? You might prove me wrong, and I dare you to do it. I dare you to get in God's presence and dwell in God's presence for 90 days or 6 months or a year, and then step outside of it and come to me three, six, 9 months later and go, you know what? I would do nothing to get back in God's presence, because I'll tell you one thing, there was nothing more miserable than being in his presence, and there has been nothing more refreshing than dwelling with the enemy in disobedience. I've not had anybody say that yet. And I can assure you that no one ever will. Because once you taste the good gift, there is no greater, no sweeter fellowship than being in the presence of the Lord. It changes you. It completely and absolutely not only can change you, but it can change your family, it can change your community, and it can change the generations that follow you in your family. We know what the scripture says, the sins of the father carry down to the third and fourth generation, but see, this is what I love, the blessings to 1,000. See, that's the scripture, that's what I claim. You might have a prodigal son or daughter tonight, hold fast. You know why? Because God is ever faithful. Don't you embrace them in disobedience and rebellion either. It's uncomfortable when you have to tell them what they need to hear and not what they want to hear. But you stand with him and don't stand with them. You know what you do? If you have to, you do what that prodigal son's father did. He had to send him down the road talking to himself. You know why? You are not going to live in unrepentant immorality and rebellion in my house, under my roof. Go. Go. See, don't forget this. If you don't ever let him go, you're never going to be like that father. Looking down the lane, he saw him where? It says a long way off from afar. You know what that tells me? You might say, well, you're reading into it. I don't care if I'm reading into it, because I know what the process and the understanding, the principle is. That father was looking down that lane with expectation of God's promises being fulfilled. That's what that father was doing. And by the way, what was the level with which that father, when he saw his son from afar, from a long way off, what was he willing to do? You read that, and let me tell you what he's willing to do. He lifted up his robe. There was no man in the Old Testament that lifted up his robe. There was no man in the New Testament that lifted up their robes. You know why? An elder in the town, that was a disgrace. And you know what else he didn't do? They didn't run. They were steadfast, solid leaders, ground posts, ground pillars in their community. When that man lifted up his robe and ran to embrace his son, he was disgracing himself in front of the entire people that looked up and respected him. What does that say? He didn't care. That son was lost, but now he's found. And see, don't be scared to disgrace yourself for the name of Christ. See, I was raised watching my parents get up. My parents would sing duets at church. When you're a young person, I don't care if your parent is an opera singer. They sound terrible, and it's embarrassing. It's the same way as your parent. I don't care if they're driving a Bentley. You don't drop your kids off in front of the school. It's an embarrassment. Nor when your parents stand in front of church and sing, and you're going, oh my gosh, they sound like two hoot owls screeching. You know what, though? As I grew up, embarrassed my parents because they just get bonkers for the Lord. I look back now, and I'm so thankful. You know what I'm thankful for? That my parents didn't care to get up on stage and look like two blooming idiots, which they didn't. See, their son was ashamed of them because he was too cool to care about the things of the Lord at that time. I just thank God that my parents loved the Lord more than they loved anybody else and were willing, if they did look like complete fools up on stage, they were fools for him. And I thank God for that heritage tonight. And I mean that. My parents were thirsty for the Lord. Every single trip in my family's history that I've ever remembered in my lifetime starting out as a child. I've heard you talk about Christ for the Nations. My parents had every cassette tape that Christ for the Nations ever put out. My parents had every cassette tape that John MacArthur, his entire ministry, my parents have listened to the entire Bible over 50 years from John MacArthur. My parents have literally, that's been my dad's pastor as a pastor. I've never heard my parents growing up listen to anything but Christian music, ever. The one time I told you about getting out in the garage, my dad had a little radio about that big with a little dial on there. Well, I got out there, and I mean, who in the world wants to hear J. Vernon McGee when you're a, you know, six-year-old kid in the garage? No, I reached up there, and I mean, it was like divine providence for me as a six-year-old kid. I just happened to turn, next thing that comes on is the hottest song that was on the radio at that time in 1979-ish, 80, 81, Joan Jett, I Love Rock and Roll. I'd never heard it in my life, but I turned it on, and it was like manna from heaven in my lost and broken state. So I turn it up, and I'm out there in the garage like, oh, get on down. It's about time we heard something around here. It sounded good. Well, about that time, Tom Osterhaus walked out in the garage. You'd have thought the devil himself was standing in the garage with me. And he gave an eviction notice. He said, son, we do not listen to that filth around here. And J. Vernon McGee started talking again. My dad set a standard and said, we're not going to listen to that filth in my house. See, my parents didn't care about what I thought about them. They cared about the godliness, the holiness, the righteousness of Christ, and doing what Colossians 3 said, seeking those things which are above. My dad never told me you're going to go to hell if you listen. I never did. He said, this is what we listen to around here. He said, we want things that honor and glorify the Lord. My dad didn't say, you know, country music, it's okay to listen to all that. You know, it's just kind of, that's what, no. My parents never made that an option in my home. My parents weren't legalists and didn't say, you know, if you listen to that stuff, God's not going to love you as much as if you listen to Christ of the Nations. No, my parents, I think, literally, visibly wanted to live out Colossians chapter 3 in front of me. If you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. My parents disdain legalism, by the way, disdain it. They disdain, both grew up under legalism. And it's interesting that I was able to watch my parents raise me the way they did. They sent me to legalist schools, so I saw legalism in the schools. And by the way, I saw duplicity. Meaning, the ones that said don't listen to that, and I went outside and just happened to be walking by the preacher's car, going to sit up in the tree that I used to sit up in at lunch and smoke cigarettes. So I'm walking by the car and I look in there and I'm like, well, what's his name, old Waylon Jennings and all these, and I went, what a hypocrite. And what that did was begin to make this bitter inside of me going, these people are full of it. Not in my parents, though. See, I didn't see that at my parents. I saw that in all the other demonstrations that I was placed around growing up. See, how passionately tonight do you seek the Lord? If you're not seeking him, you're not going to find him. When you don't seek him with all your heart, he will not be found. Scripture says, when you seek me with what? All your heart. Promise. I will. Doesn't say might, could, possibly. If you seek me with all your heart, I will be found. It's littered throughout the Old and New Testament, that scripture. And then the second thing I want to share with you tonight is that of the second part of 63, verse 1, my body faints for you in a dry, desolate land without water. And then the second question tonight is, do you thirst for the Lord and the things of the Lord? Do you thirst for the Lord and the things of the Lord? Tonight, do you thirst to be in his presence? Or the things of the Lord? Delighting yourself in him? Are you thirsting to spend time with brothers and sisters in Christ? Not so people see you. You don't get involved in a ministry so people will, you know, think that you're what you want them to be in their crafting of your, no. Do you delight yourself in the Lord? Do you desire to be in his presence? Do you desire tonight for the things of the Lord? Do you then, or maybe like I used to be, where a good Sunday afternoon would have been getting on a four-wheeler with a case of beer, going and talking a bunch of old filth and drinking beer and smoking cigarettes all afternoon because, see, that's real fun. And then that's after I go to church, though, because, see, I had to get my church in. That's not me, by the way. I didn't go. But I'm talking about the people that tried to live in light and darkness. It's literally like you got one foot in heaven and one in hell, and you're just trying to maintain a balance, you know. So why? Well, I just want to make sure I get in. I don't care if I'm sweeping the streets in heaven, long as I get in. That's not a mindset, by the way. That's a dangerous mindset, if you ask me. That's saying, how much hell can I have in my life and still end up in heaven? Do you think that's a follower of Christ who has been washed in the blood of Jesus, who delights themselves in the Lord, and who is seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness? No, that actually sounds like someone who's trying to play the game of religion. And it's dangerous, church. It is absolutely dangerous. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be ye transformed. The person I used to be is not the man that I am now. And I thank God for it. God changed my wants. God has changed my will. God has changed my desires. And by the way, the older I get, they change even more. But the more I delight myself in the Lord and the more that I seek his face, the more I desire to fellowship, the more I desire to be in his word, the more I desire to look up Christian artists. And, by the way, Spotify is like a gift from the Lord because you can listen to every genre. We watched Stephen Curtis Chapman's. I've watched it once, but had to watch it the other day again. Watched Greater again last night, too. But the one Stephen Curtis Chapman, I Still Believe. Anybody ever heard it? Anybody watch that? Stephen Camp? Not Stephen Curtis. Stephen Camp or Jeremy Camp? Y'all not watched I Still Believe? Please raise your hand, somebody. Old church, y'all get to have a good week. You too? Okay. Go home this week and watch. Please write it down. I Still Believe. And you better get you a box of tissues when you watch it. Has anybody ever heard this song? I still believe in your holiness. It's the movie that's behind why he wrote that song. And I will tell you one thing. It is powerful. It's powerful. Long story short, is Spotify. We've got the soundtrack on there. And we did a search on Christian, you know, movies. And so it's got all the soundtracks and these movies. Just, hey, we're at a time in history where you don't have the Christian music I listened to as a kid. It was awful. It was terrible. It was the worst. I'm telling you, if you were a young person, the Christian rock of my childhood was horrible. It was like the Christian movies. Anybody remember? They were terrible movies. The acting was awful. the artwork was awful. And you're like, come on, Lord, help us a little bit. Now, you've got courageous. You've got you've got greater. You've got fireproof. You've got no excuse anymore. We've been so blessed. So blessed. Church, do you thirst for the Lord and the things of the Lord? Or are you sitting back going, you know, man, it's Halloween again. I guess it's time for the family to have a good old Stephen King's It night. You know, let's just invite the darkness in. There's no reason we shouldn't. Ain't nothing like a good Jeepers Creepers marathon and Dusk to Dawn, amen? You want that in your house? You want to dance with the devil? You want to dance with darkness? Keep doing it. I'm not your daddy. I'm not going to tell you you can't. That's between you and the Lord. I will sit down with you when the enemy's filled every essence of your mind and your family. When he's consumed your thoughts with the deeds of darkness. When you watch it begin to play out in your children's lives. As you then go, oh, what have I done? See, light and darkness hath no fellowship, church. Are you thirsty tonight? What are you thirsty for? And that's the question we all ask ourselves. What are you thirsty for? Your desire is to see how much heaven and oh, yeah, Brother Jonathan, you're just a legalist. You can write me off whatever you want. Don't worry, I used to say the same thing you did. I did. Same thing. Until God allowed me to understand the real understanding of verses and chapters like Colossians 3. In them ye once were. Now you are a child of the light. See, I remember who I used to be. And I desire not to be that anymore. I desire to continue to grow. I desire for God to remove the attitudes, the actions, the mindsets, the mind frames of who I used to be. And tonight, what are you delighting in? And what are tonight you thirsting for? What are you seeking? You want a change in your family? You want godliness and holiness and righteousness to reign triumphant and supreme in your home? I would encourage you to do a checkup from the neck up, to do a complete, systematic, from the ground up rebuild in your home if what you are getting out right now doesn't match what you want. I'd start completely over. I'd go home tonight if you're a parent and you've been allowing that filth. Let me just tell you what to do. You know what the movie Exorcist is? I've never watched it, but I've heard a lot about it. Thank the Lord I never even did watch the thing. But from what I gather, it was about extracting demonic forces and things from said people. That's what I would assume it was. You can go home tonight and you can have an exorcism of the filth in your home that maybe God brings to your mind tonight that is the source of potentially undermining the theological base with which your children and your family are thriving or striving to be under tonight. Who wants anything working against you? I'd encourage you, if you're at home and you have a Ouija board in your house, I would take it tonight. I would not wait till tomorrow. I'd go straight to it when you got home, and I would rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ, and I'd put it outside. If you don't have time to set a fire tonight, I'd have a bonfire tomorrow night, and I would burn it. I would burn any filth in your home that has any demonic connotations. You might go, man, he's really overboard. Well, I challenge you to show me from God's word where I'm wrong. I challenge you. I challenge you to believe that you can have the Baals and the Asherah poles in your home and have any semblance of godliness that will truly permeate the aspects of every ounce and being in your home. If you look in the Old Testament, they honored the Lord but did not remove the high places. I need to do a study on that, church. You know what it was saying? They were honoring the Lord, but they weren't willing to get rid of those closets that they were trying to hold on, that this demonic Moloch child sacrifice and the Asherah poles and Baal. Oh yeah, they professed the love for God, but they weren't willing to remove what was preventing a true sold-out allegiance to Christ, and therefore what were they? They were duplicitous. And what ended up happening in short order, the entire nations would be turned over into bondage because of sin. You cannot dance with the devil and think for a moment, well, I'm only doing one waltz. It's not a bad thing. It's not a big deal. Brother Jonathan, you're just overboard. I challenge you to get in God's Word. Show me where I'm wrong. Delight yourself in the Lord. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. You can go on and on and on. Tonight, how passionately do you seek the Lord? You're wondering what's hindering it? How about some of these things I've mentioned tonight? And by the way, in no way is this an exhaustive list. I could go on and on. I had a conversation at home with the family about how sexual immorality is no longer talked about in church. The sanctity of marriage and God's plans no longer talked about. Wonder what's happened, church? Well, instead of the body of Christ impacting the world has impacted the body of Christ. We're scared people to get upset. Oh, you're scared of truth? See, it's God's plan. It's God's design. It's not mine. God's plan for relationships and marriage, it's not my plan. It's God's. So what's the question tonight? Oh, we'll just keep, you know, hey, we can't help it. We're in a tender world right now. You can tender all you want to. Don't think you're going to delight God and enter His presence and spend time in His presence in worship when your whole entire life is a tender mindset of, you know, hey, it's just we live today and we die tomorrow. It's not godliness, it's not holiness, it's not righteous. It is wicked immorality, and it is outside the context of God's desire for marriage and man and woman. And truth and righteousness ain't too popular these days, is it? We don't want to talk about it. Nobody wants to talk about how the Bible says God hates divorce. We don't want to talk about it. Because somebody might get offended or upset. See, there's relationships that end that people don't want to end. And you know what? You can't change someone's heart and mind, but the truth is still truth. Amen? And ones that are a product of that have a testimony to share with others about how it can happen. But also, God forgives and God restores. But don't forget, stand firm in truth. Don't fall for the world's presentation of what righteousness, truth, godliness, holiness, and justice is. Make sure you and I carry the mantle and the standard, not ours. It's not Longview Baptist Church's, it's God's Word. You want God to bless you? Huh, there's this little thing called abstinence, kids. It's this thing of setting up protective barriers. I sit down and talk to them about it. How many kids listen? Well, that's between them and the Lord. Doesn't mean that I don't stand and sit them down and have the conversation. You don't protect your virtue after the fact. You do it now. But you have to make these choices because I won't be there with you. See, that's not popular. The kids don't want to talk. You know, oh, that might be a little, that's uncomfortable. Oh, really? Well, when I was a kid, that's why you had so many teen girls walk around pregnant. Why? We don't talk about that stuff. That's taboo. Oh, well, had that model work out. Why are we having sex education now with kids in, what, fourth grade? Guess that was an epic failure, wasn't it? Church, we've got to be willing to talk to these kids now. I say it to people all the time. A teenager with a phone is a recipe for destruction. Oh, really? You don't think? Please let me introduce you tomorrow to Carol Jean. She is the sex abuse detective in Shelbyville, been doing this for decades. You don't think your little kid will do it? Let me let her tell you story after story after story of the little Peggy's, the little Billy's, the little Bobby's, and every other little girl that they've dealt with down there, and little boy whose parents said, there's no way this could ever happen to my precious little one. They wouldn't do anything like that. They couldn't get... And then they have to sit up there, and the parents one day find out the reality of what they thought their child could never or would never fall victim to or do. Guess what you have at that point? Anybody ever tried to put the cat back in the bag? You find you a good tomcat and just grab it. It's never been in a bag. You go and put it in a bag and let me watch you. you'll look like you've been through an exorcism. You can't do it. Once it's out of the bag, you can't get it unseen in their minds. Oh, what do? I'll tell you, a phone right now, the only numbers they can dial are the ones you put in there. No one else's. They can't text anyone else. They can't call anyone else. They can video text you and the people that you tell them to. Nothing more. Oh, well, there's no other options, Brother Jonathan. No. It takes a parent that invests the time and cares enough to guard the integrity of their children. Church, you better get busy about talking to your friends and family about what I'm telling you tonight. Because I want to tell you something. They're not going to be thirsty naturally. They're going to have a desire to be thirsty for the things of the world because that's what's being presented to them 9 times out of 10, the vast majority of the day. You're going to have this small slither of time that you're able to impact them for the kingdom. And you've got to do it with reckless abandon, passionately and powerfully. Because don't think for a moment down the road that they're just going to choose the right thing because you willed it into existence. No, it's because you made the tough choices. You made those hard choices. You were a parent instead of an observer or a friend. And I challenge you tonight again, as you thirst for the Lord and those things of the Lord, your children are going to watch you. Stay focused. Stay engaged. Stay faithful. Run that race to completion. And you will never look back and regret what you've done for him. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for...
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.